Being a great recruiter has to come from your heart. You have to truly be passionate about helping others. It can't be about yourself. And if you truly are listening to people, either side, if you're truly listening and engaging with those that you speak with, you're going to be able to make better connections. If you're not listening, you're absolutely going to miss things, and that's when you fail. So Denise Klodzinski, Miller Resource Group, an executive recruiter who supports the food and beverage manufacturing industry, manager levels through the C-suite.
Awesome. And so what do you love about being a recruiter?
What do I love about being a recruiter? I love being a recruiter because it allows me to connect with candidates as well as clients. Being able to connect stories and build brands and build a company from scratch or make the company better and produce more, to me, is really exciting. Being able to find candidates a new home and a new love for their next career move is super exciting for me.
Awesome. That was beautiful. So Denise, that's what I asked you. What do you love about being a recruiter? What do you think makes a great recruiter?
What makes a great recruiter? I think being a great recruiter has to come from your heart. You have to truly be passionate about helping others. It can't be about yourself. And if you truly are listening to people, either side, if you're truly listening and engaging with those that you speak with, you're going to be able to make better connections. If you're not listening, you're absolutely going to miss things, and that's when you fail.
Awesome. What are some of the stigmas you have you've seen or heard as a recruiter?
So what are some stigmas that go along with recruiting or being a recruiter? Often candidates get very frustrated with recruiters because we may not respond fast enough to them, or we don't respond at all. And one of the things that should probably be clarified is that there's so many different things that are happening at any given moment. We're only human, and sometimes things happen, and if you're juggling a lot of things at once, assume that the recruiter wants to talk with you again, dropping a quick email that says, "Hey, what's next? Did you hear anything?" is not the worst thing in the world, and I think can also get a lot more response than getting angry, upset, or taking it personally. It's really not personal. It's just a matter of one person trying to manage a lot of things at any given point.
Awesome. Tell us a story about a candidate that you placed that stands out in your mind.
So one of the first, a candidate that stands out for me here at Miller Resource Group, we actually do a trial day before we're actually hired. We do a trial day because that's a great way to make sure that we as the recruiter like what we're going to be doing. And then also it's a great way for the company to identify whether or not this is a fit for them. And so during my first trial day, I sat down. It was the phone part of the activity. I had to sit down and make phone calls to candidates that I had, or people that I had no idea who they were. And one of the individuals that I spoke to, just again, active listening, you're listening to the candidate, just hit home with me. Very open, very personable, outgoing. You could just tell that he drove results in whatever he did. But it wasn't just about business. It was just, you could hear his sincerity and his authenticity. And 3 years later, after I had first had that trial day, I had the opportunity to find him a home with one of my favorite clients, and being able to put them in that role. He's killing it. He's going above and beyond and bringing in, I think this year alone, he's brought the company over $10 million in revenue. So that to me is a really exciting success story, not only from being able to connect with someone day one with joining Miller Resource Group, but then be able to connect them and make a difference for a client that I love as well.
Awesome. How do you use, as a recruiter, how do you use social media or LinkedIn to do your job?
So how do I use social media to do my job? I use it as really a support. It's to complement what I do on a regular basis. I'm always making phone calls. I'm always outreaching to individuals, using whatever resources I can. But social media is absolutely a complement to those actions. So if I want to be able to get a hold of my network quickly, I'm throwing a LinkedIn post out first saying, hey, this job's hot. You guys want to talk to me about this. And so I'm getting inbound emails responding to that. But then I'm also, during that same time, making phone calls to those same individuals that maybe didn't check their LinkedIn that moment. I might also identify fun videos or identify trends that I'm noticing. And just, again, it's a compliment. I don't use it to guide my everyday. It's just it supports and helps me get better and quicker at what I do when I'm talking and outreaching to candidates.
Awesome. So. sorry about Shih Tzu.
That's okay. The flea. We'll have like a flea jumping around my
head. You got to get that itch. Oh, so, yeah, I'll put this way.
That's okay.
Because then that way you could just look at the ones.
Yeah,
you got it. Do you have any questions for me or, you know, about the anything?
Well, so how often do you guys do podcasts?
That's a great question. So in August, I did one podcast every day. And the way I accomplished that was I batch created. So I did a 4-hour block where I scheduled 15-minute interviews with a bunch of my connections. And I just essentially produce them and publish them out over every day. I'd say like every week is a really good cadence. Too much, you know, like you said, you don't use it as it's not your job to be on LinkedIn all day. It's a support role. So, you know, you definitely don't want to burn out, or I see too many people coming in daily and then after 2 months, they just stop posting videos. So you want to, I'd say, at least be posting once a week. That's it for the Zach Scriven podcast, which, you know, I'll be publishing this on. It'll kind of be like behind the scenes, you know? I post maybe on average like 2 times a week.
Been doing it for about a year and
we're at episode 130 something. Yeah, something like that.
So who's your favorite podcast that you follow?
Oh, it's got to be Joe Rogan Experience.
Yeah? He's funny.
Yeah.
he's funny. He asks good questions. He's pretty... I mean, I think he has obviously he's biased, but he tries to be neutral, right? He tries to hit both sides of the, so even if he thinks one way, he'll play devil's advocate.
That's good.
Yeah, and I just like the long format and I like the conversational aspect.
Sure.
If it's too like presented, then it's a little bit weird. And so a lot of my podcasts are very conversational like that.
Sure.
But, you know, occasionally I'll address the audience, like, you know, if you guys are listening and you're looking for a job in recruiting, you know, click the link in the description because, you know, you guys have got positions to fill.
Sure.
What are some of the, what about you? Would you have any podcasts that you listen to?
I'm not quite into podcasts. I need to get into that space. I think that there's just a lot of people who want help. One of my favorite things, if I get referred to somebody, one of the things that I'll do is I make it my point to talk to them and give them a few extra things that if I had to be looking for a job right now, I'd be looking for. And so to me, that's very, I would want someone to do the same thing to me.
Right.
And so it's just kind of my give back. Somebody referred you to me, somebody likes you, right? So it's my effort to give it back to you. And I think that podcast could probably do something similar to that.
Yeah.
Are you thinking about starting your own or?
Yeah, I think that I'm a big collaborator. I don't necessarily feel like I need to be a one-man show. I think as an office, we could provide support to those who are looking and have needs. And just even if it's just looking at it from a client standpoint, you know, a lot of, especially in a candidate-driven market, clients are missing out on great talent because they're not treating people right in the interview process. They're treating candidates as if you should want me instead of me wanting you.
Yeah, the table has kind of flipped.
Candidates are working. They're employed. They don't need to. They don't have to. It's really as a client who really gets it and gets the market that we're in, they step up the game in the interview experience. The candidate experience. And if they're not doing that, they're missing out. And they're especially missing out with our younger generation because as a younger generation, we want to know that the company's going to care about us as people, not just as a number, as a, like, I'm going to kill it for you, but I also want to know that you care about me and who I am. And the more that a company can relay that message and can identify and connect with their candidates through the interview process, to me, that's going to be really important. So I see it two points. A, providing resources to the candidates who are, you know, have to be in that process or are secretly looking to make a change. But then also for the clients, goodness, I mean, if we're not talking to the people who know why they're leaving their company, and that's all we talk to all day. Why are you leaving your company? Why are you thinking about leaving your company? How do I answer it?
Yeah, how would...
why do they?
Yeah. Why is that? Why does it have to be such a hard question to answer? How about that?
I think there's usually candidates leave companies for multiple reasons. It's not just one thing. If it was just one thing, they're just starting to think about it. They're not talking to me. By the time they're talking to me or anyone else on my team, there's a lot of things that have happened to that point. And I think for certain groups of people, gender specifically, I feel like it's a loyalty thing, right? We, you know, there are a lot of people who feel unloyal if they start talking to a recruiter, like, oh, I'm cheating on my current employer if I talk to a recruiter, instead of just dipping their toe in the water and seeing what's out there, being curious to just what the industry will bear. And, hey, am I being paid enough for my role?
Yeah, we kind of almost live in a very, like, self-driven, or it's kind of shifting, you know, from, you know, our parents and parents' generation, like, of working 35 years at a company to kind of more, I mean, it's almost kind of sounding a little narcissistic, but it's like, yeah, what's, you know, what is the, yeah, like you said, you know, it's not just the company is like, oh, you know, you're lucky to have a job, you know, now it's kind of like, all right, well, I want, you know, it's not all about the money, but it's about having a good environment, feeling like I matter, you said, that your values align with the company's values, like a lot of this new agey type of stuff, you know?
Yeah. Well, we as kids and the those who are younger than me even, they saw their parents work their butt off with little to no reward. And when they got sick and when they died, not many of their employers were there, right? So that's a really good lesson. Like, oh, you know, you really worked really hard, but guess who was there at the end? Well, that's an eye-opener. Now, not every company is like that, right? And so I think just people in general are trying to be a little bit more understanding of it's my life. My life is short. I've got a certain finite period of time to live it. I do want to work hard. I want to make money because I want to be able to enjoy and fully enjoy life for what it's worth. Right. And a company that gets it and supports that is important.
Right. They're gonna succeed in the new age.
Yeah. If my family's sick, am I going to be judged for missing a few days at work? Those companies that are willing to work through that are willing to those people, they get the person working harder for them when they come back.
Right. They're not just looking at the bottom line and like slave labor.
Right. Right. Well, I mean there's always going to be people who take advantage of it, right? Always. I mean, that's just life in general. People are going to take advantage of it. But for the most part, I think people are inherently good and people inherently want to work hard and do well and be recognized for things that they did positively. So if a company acknowledges that, you know, you're going to have to get rid of the riffraff that really is taking advantage of the system. But for the most part, people aren't doing that. They're genuinely just are working through life that's thrown at them.
Yeah. How have you seen the gig economy changing the landscape of the workforce?
The gig economy? What do you mean by that?
Okay, so for example, like I actually was my previous job that I quit before, you know, to do this full time. Mm-hmm. I was actually placed in that role by a recruiter, but now I still work in industrial automation programming a little bit, but more as a freelancer using digital platforms like Upwork that connect me directly to a client, but on a more, you know, I guess, freelancer or, you know, like think of Uber drivers. They don't, they're not employees. They're just freelancers or independent contractors.
Sure.
How do you see the landscape of the job force, the workforce changing with technology?
Yeah, I think smart companies are going to use technology to their advantage, and it's going to make them better, and it's going to catapult them to do more things and be smart about it. And those companies that don't evolve, unfortunately, I think are like most companies that don't, are going to fall behind. But I think, you know, with recruiting, for example, there's a lot of people that say now that you can use things like these online platforms to do the recruiting for you, you don't need a recruiter to help you. Well, that's great, but unfortunately, there's a people side of recruiting, and if you don't have a conversation with people, then you don't. The resume is only. This is not my original quote, but the resume is only marginally associated, right? It only marginally tells you how you connect with that job. The stories, the conversation is what determines whether or not you're a really good fit. And AI doesn't do a great job of that yet.
When it does, then the humans will just move to a higher and more creative relationship driven marketplace.
Absolutely. So now I'm going to be able to talk to a lot more people and really zone in on, I'm only talking to people that are qualified. So the 100 people that I'm talking to in the past might have been 100 people and I needed to talk to, 100 to get to 15 that actually were even qualified. Now I could talk to 100 that are qualified and get to 15, and get to the three that I send to you that are spot on. So I see technology as being helpful. I love, the freelance piece. I think, there's a lot of recruiters that, recruit with their underwear, right? And they pick up the phone and they call from home and out of their kitchen. That's not going to change. That's one of the cool things about recruiting is there's really zero money that goes into the entry of that field. However, as you've experienced with our office, there's something to say about collaboration. There's something to be saying about a team. When you have an office that goes after a role and helps a company as a team, and as even bigger, our office is connected globally, that's something. So I think there's going to be a lot more connection, connections of groups. So there may be people doing it from their, bathroom, but they're connecting with five other people doing it out of the bathroom to make themselves stronger. Well, at least in my opinion, that's what's going to need to happen because they can't compete, in my opinion, successfully to a group like ours that's going to really just one conversation and type and share.
Yeah. So I think to summarize, you're saying like technology is not going to replace, but it's just going to enhance.
And evolve us.
Yeah. Yeah, and the digital world is not going to be a replacement for the physical world, and jobs are still, going to be there. So
yeah, it's just going to change how we do things. It's going to make us better at what we do, and it's ultimately going to help us be more efficient with our day. If there's one thing I can't do is make my day longer, and no one can. So it's all about getting things and being more efficient with your time, which I think that's what I love about technology, and that's what I love about social media. And the more I can do that to get it off my plate so that people come to me instead of me having to go out to them, it just makes more sense of my time.
Yeah. So you actually just explained Industry 4.0.
Industry 4.0.
Awesome. Thank you, Denise.
You're welcome. Yeah.